Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 105, and it is the week of August 6th, 2010. And I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, which we affectionately call the center of the universe. And I have to take exception to Chelsea Clinton's wedding that happened this past weekend. I saw at least in the Richmond paper that they called the location where she got married the center of the universe for the weekend. So we actually consider ourselves the center of the universe. And if you're a first-time listener, I'm not trying to be arrogant or egocentric or anything. Egotistical or anything, but the people here that live in Ashland, Virginia, actually, it's the nickname is the center of the universe. So that's why this podcast is called that. Anyway, this is episode 105. We're moving right along, and it's still hard to believe that we're at episode 105. I can't quite believe that. I've been doing the show now, I think, for just over 2 years, and I still enjoy it. But it's been a little harder here lately to put out shows because I'm not doing as much running as I used to, and I'll explain that. This episode is going to be talking about running cycles. It's something I've kind of started to put a little bit of a belief in here after I finished the biggest goal in running I've ever attained, which was a 50-miler back on June 5th, and it seems like just yesterday that happened. Anyway, I want to hit on a couple other things first. First and foremost, the drum roll, please, for the gift certificate drawing. And the winner is Elizabeth. And I got the email earlier today from Ryan over at goneforarun.com. And Elizabeth is the winner. I don't know where she's from. And I don't know, we don't really go by last names that much here on the internet. But don't know much about her, otherwise I would tell you. But anyway, Elizabeth, send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'm just curious where you're from. I do like to try to keep up with listeners. I don't really keep a list or anything like that of who listens to the show, but I'm just curious. So anyway, congratulations to you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, what I did is I had a gift certificate for $50 at goneforarun.com, which is a website that has running apparel and gifts and other things related to running marathons and ultra marathons and some other, you know, everything in between. And Ryan over there had offered to have a giveaway, so I took him up on that and in exchange for offering that to the listeners. He got some good exposure on the website, on my podcast, and on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And a lucky listener got a $50 gift certificate. So congratulations to Elizabeth. I appreciate everybody that entered the drawing. It was pretty cool. I don't really know how many people entered. It was handled pretty much by Ryan, but he did do it randomly. And I think that's really cool that he offered to do that. So many thanks to you, Ryan. And I would like to maybe try to do that again in the future. Hopefully that got some traffic over to your website and got you some exposure with some of the neat stuff that you have on your site. And Ryan, I do want to check with you. We want to do a new logo for Team Incognito, so I'll be getting with you on that. One of the guys in my running group had asked about that. And so I'll be getting with you shortly on that. And once again, thanks for doing the contest. So congratulations to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, shoot me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and let me know what you're going to spend all that money on. And I wish I had $50. That'd be pretty cool. All right, so we'll do another giveaway in the future, and if anybody else is listening out there who has a website where they're selling something and they want to do a giveaway, I'll be happy to mention your website in exchange for the gift certificate giveaway to listeners. I don't ask for anything for myself in exchange, but if you can offer something to the listeners, and I'm getting between 300 and 500 downloads for each show, which isn't too bad. You know, it's a special podcast. It's not for mass marketing or anything like that. It's kind of a little bit of a niche I am an ordinary, regular nobody, and so that makes me, you know, nobody. And so, but I do get people that listen to the show, just a regular, ordinary, middle of the pack, nobody. Sometimes, you know, they don't even know that I'm at the race because my chip doesn't work. All right, so I'm doing a little rambling there. Let's get on to cul-de-sac number three. I ran in the cul-de-sac number, the third of the cul-de-sac series, which is a 5K. I did that back on July 26th, and I ran with a colleague from work named Chris. And we had a great time. And what I'm going to do is link, I'm going to try to get the YouTube video from that race. I didn't make the video, but I'm in it four times, believe it or not. They got me finishing with my buddy, and I'm going to actually put that on my site at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I'm just going to link to it. If I can figure out how to do that, I should be able to embed it. And you can check that out if you want at ashlanddave.podbean.com. Let me make a note to do that so I don't forget. That was pretty cool. Actually, somebody from my running group, John, pointed that out to me. And so I went and watched the video. It's only a couple minutes long, and I was able to find myself a few times. I tell you, though, what's really weird is when, if you ever watch a video of yourself doing something, and it's just you didn't make the video, so you know that you don't know where you are in a frame. It's really weird to watch a video to try to find yourself. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird phenomenon. Anyway, the 5K felt great. It really felt good to get out there. I had to enter in the well, I didn't have to enter in the Clydesdale division, which is 200 pounds plus, but I did. And came in second to last place in my age group, not in the Clydesdale division. And but anyway, ran with my friend Chris. We had a great time. Fortunately, we had to do a little walking because the weather got the best of Chris. It was pretty hot, but I felt great. I mean, we did run slower. We kind of ran the more of my speed that I've developed here after the 50 mile, or just kind of cruising along at a slow speed. And just letting all the fast people get ahead and just kind of resolving just to try to enjoy the experience as opposed to, you know, getting a great finishing time or anything. But I didn't want to come in last place in my age group. I just refused to do that. I mean, I don't know who's in my age group when I get to the race, but that's definitely something I don't want to do. And I did not come in last place. We were in 32:54, 32:53, something like that. And I came in front of Chris at the end. And, it, you know, what... The thing is, Chris doesn't listen to the podcast, so I'm going to talk about him for a minute. He's a great guy. He's been doing a lot of running. He's a big dude. No, he's tall. He's well over 6 feet tall, probably about 220, 225. And that's a lot of weight to carry in a race, you know, along. It's just a lot of weight to run with. And he kept apologizing to me when he needed to walk. And he kept saying, oh, you know, go ahead if you want. And the thing was, I was just there just to run, just to really just do a run. It wasn't to race him or to beat him. But I started getting the feeling that he wanted to be by himself because he was kind of, he didn't want to slow me down. And I tried telling him that I wasn't there to race. I was just there to run with him. And I'm actually the one that suggested that he come out there because he had never done it before. And he lives almost an hour away. So after the race, he had a long way to ride home. And he actually came to my house after work. And then I drove out from my house after we got something to eat. So he didn't even go home after work and then go out to the race. And he was out all day. And I so I didn't mind running with him. And but he just kept apologizing because he had to take some walk breaks. And I think it was the heat. And in hindsight, I kind of probably should have left him alone and not stayed with them. But then on the flip side is that I'm the one that invited him out there and I wanted to run with him. So I didn't mind if we had to walk. I didn't really care really one way or the other. We still ran it. We ran the first mile in 9:36. So that was really the biggest mistake, was running the first mile too fast. But I was kind of reading my pace off of his pace. And so I was not running fast on purpose. We ran the second mile, I think, in a 10:18. Then the third mile was the disaster mile that everything slowed down. But we had a good time. And afterwards, you know, one of the draws for the third of it's a cul-de-sac series, which is races 1, 2, and 3 on consecutive Mondays. And if you're not familiar with it, if you don't live around this area in the Hanover, Henrico, Richmond metropolitan area, it's a consecutive Monday race. And if you run all three, you get a special prize. And on the third one, they always have Papa John's pizza. So I like the pizza. I mean, I like pizza no matter what, and eating pizza after running is even doubly better. So I had a couple slices of pizza after the run, and poor old Chris, he's like, man, yeah, I can't believe you're eating And I was like, man, that's the whole reason I came out here. So, you know, the running level's at two different places. Anyway, I was really proud that he came out there and saw him the next day at work, obviously. And, you know, we talked about it and had some good laughs about the no-shirt brigade. All the leaders of the race seemed to be this group of guys that didn't have any shirts on. And, you know, they all got their tattoos and they're, you know, all cut and stuff. And so we got a kind of a kick out of the fact that they all seem to be running together. And then we kind of called it the no-shirt brigade. You got people like that at every race. You know, they show up with no shirt on. They leave with no shirt on. To me, I don't run with it. I run with a shirt. The main reason is because if I didn't run with a shirt, people would be grabbing me off the course. But the second reason is that I need some kind of cloth to wipe my face on. And a shirt is great. You got two sleeves, you got your shirt tail, and then when all those are soaking wet, you start using different parts of the shirt. And to me, that's really the main reason why I run with my shirt on. But anyway, it was kind of funny to see this whole group of guys, you know, mostly probably, you know, late 20s, early 30s guys that run with no shirt. And since they were all, at one point in the race, they were all grouped together, because in the cul-de-sac series, you go in and out of cul-de-sacs in this real nice neighborhood, so you get to pass people going the opposite direction, the leaders. And so you see them twice before their lead gets too great where you don't get to see them in the third cul-de-sac of the route. And, you know, so that all these guys were all grouped together. We got a nice kick out of that. I don't know why that was funny, but anyway. If you're listening to the show and you don't run with a shirt on, this is not an insult directed at you specifically. It's just that if you happen to run with a whole group of guys that don't wear their shirts, it kind of looks a little bit strange to us guys that wear their shirts. So that's just the way it looked, and that's why we were commenting on it. So anyway, the 5K was a lot of fun to get kind of back into the excitement of a race event. Several hundred people were out there. It's turned into a pretty good event. And I got to see some other folks from my running group, Rachel and Ryan and Kelly. And saw Stephanie, who's not in Team Incognito, but a good running friend. And various other people that either listen or don't listen to the podcast. And that leads me into talking about Ryan and Rachel. Unfortunately, they are going to be moving out of the United States. They're going to be going back to Canada, where Rachel's from. And I'm very, very sad to see them go, because they've been, Ryan more so than Rachel, because Ryan listens to the podcast and I communicate with him. It's going to be sad to see him go. Ryan, I've talked about many of his exploits in the podcast. Ryan has done all kinds of stuff. He does the whatever that race is where you eat the donuts. The Krispy Kreme Challenge. He's done a naked race up in Vancouver. He started wearing the Vibram Five Fingers before, you know, other people were. He's kind of always been ahead of the curve in at least our group, our Team Incognito group. He's always been a little bit ahead of the curve on kind of trying some different things or noticing trends and then trying them out to kind of see if it's something that's worthwhile or not. And he's always been a good loyal listener to the podcast. So I'm going to be very sad to see him leaving, because it's very likely that I might not ever see him again in person, and maybe just see, you know, talk to him over email. And of course, he was one of my crew members up when I did the North Face Endurance Challenge 50 miler back in June. And so seeing Ryan leave Richmond is going to be pretty sad, but I know he'll be getting with a whole new group up in Canada, because I know he'll continue to run. And I got to tell you a little quick story about Ryan. Ryan ran his first marathon the same year I did, back in 2006. And we trained together for that, and trained with his fiancée at the time. Then they got married, and her name's Rachel. She's an opera singer, has a beautiful voice. So I took my family to go see a concert that she did last year. It was an opera rendition of the story of Cinderella, and I tell you, beautiful, beautiful voice. Just real. She has a whole lot of talent. Anyway, the group I was training with, we're all going to be running the Richmond Marathon. Ryan and Rachel had signed up to run the Marine Corps Marathon, which was I think 2 weeks before Richmond, or 3 weeks before Richmond, or something like that. So, you know, some of our training weeks were the same, and then some of the mileage was a little bit different because of the timing of the race. And, you know, all of us who were non-marathoners always looked at, you know, running the marathon as kind of, once you finish the marathon, you're on the other side of life or something like that, kind of a conceptual thing. So they ran their marathon and then came back to one of our training runs just to tell us how it went. And Ryan, if you're listening, I don't know you remember. But we were out, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were kind of looking at you guys in awe because y'all are now marathoners, and here we were still, you know, aspiring to be marathoners, and it was just kind of a weird time where y'all were kind of celebrities a little bit, and we were kind of didn't really, you know, we just, hey, what was it like and all that, and they both finished, of course, and Ryan's, of course, run marathon since then, and I think, I'm not sure if Rachel's run another one or not, but I know she's done several halves or halves. So anyway, that's a quick little story about Ryan. Been very good running friend, and otherwise I've been out to his house for some other things. He had a good Super Bowl party one year that I went out to. And perfect example, Ryan is a guy that I would probably never met otherwise if I had not gotten involved in long-distance endurance running. Our paths probably never would have crossed. We work in different fields, lived in different areas, do different types of traveling. He's younger than I am, so we probably normally, under normal circumstances, would not have met and become friends had it not been for distance running. So I am very sad to see that he's going to be moving out of the U.S., but I wish him the best. Ryan, I wish you the best, you and Rachel, and hopefully get your house sold so you guys can move and not have any residual problems once you leave. And Ryan's also highly educated. I believe he's got his doctorate in finance or something of that nature. So anyway, Ryan, all the best to you and Rachel, and we'll miss you here. And I guess we'll be having a going away party here for you soon, and I'm sure we'll come up with some type of running gift for you so you don't ever forget us. So anyway, all the best to you, bud. It's been nice knowing you, and I hope to see you again sometime in the future. All right, well, let me talk now about the main topic of the show, which is running cycles and what I think those are, because I think right now I'm in the bottom of one, and so I want to explain that a little bit. And so let's get into the main topic of the show, running cycles. Well, what I did was I did some, you know, informal amateur internet research on running cycles, and there's really nothing out there. So I'm really just going to talk about what I think it is, and it's kind of like running rhythms. I mean, you get in a high rhythm or at a low rhythm or a high output or low output. Right now I'm in a very low output, and I think I'm just at the bottom of a cycle that will repeat itself. I don't know how long or when it will start going up, but, you know, everything in life is kind of in cycles, and I'm at the end of a prolonged effort, multiple races, multiple marathons over the course of a couple of years. I just kept doing them, but I'm not burned out because I'm still excited about running. You know, the idea of running, the running subculture. I like all that stuff. I just haven't gotten the inspiration to get back out there yet. So it's safe to say that I'm going to be bagging the Patrick Henry Half Marathon. And since I produced this show over the course of several days, some of my statements now might actually contradict something earlier in the show. And now that's just the way it goes. I can't remember, and you know, I don't go back and listen to every word before I start producing a different part of the show. But, you know, I've had some hard, prolonged effort, and, you know, multiple races followed by some rest periods. And I've had some over the course of within the last 12 months, or last 13 months, I've run three ultras and probably three or four regular marathons, and then countless training miles. You know, it's the 20 milers in between all that stuff that, you know, you don't really mention when you talk about all the mileage that you've done. So I'm kind of at the bottom of a cycle right now, which I know will eventually go up, and it I think part of it is the weather. We've had some triple digit temperatures that have just really drain me of any motivation to get out there and do anything in the evening outside other than, you know, sit under a ceiling fan. But what I was doing is, and the reason this topic kind of, I wanted to talk about a little bit in the podcast was because I was recently listening to another podcast about people that do the 50 states. And there are apparently a very small group of people, maybe just between 3 and 5 people that have done the 50 states 10 times. That's 500 marathons, and that's traveling to all 50 states 10 times to do marathons in each state. And that's pretty crazy. And that, and I'm kind of getting off topic a little bit here, but when somebody does something like that, which I applaud, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's pretty cool. But that's part of their lifestyle, everyday lifestyle. Whereas for me, endurance running is still kind of a little bit of a novelty. I did a podcast some time back called The Marathoning Lifestyle, and I think I kind of questioned in that myself in that show if I was you know, in the marathon lifestyle, which you have to do lots of stuff. You know, you're running all the time. You're all your friends are runners. Your whole social interaction, the whole setup for your friendships with people is all based on running. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I've met some really good people through running that I'm still friends with, you know, years later. But I don't think that I've totally committed myself to a running lifestyle. Because right now I'm not doing any running. I think I've only run a few times since I did the 50 miler. And the main reason was I just really wanted to heal up. And I was done. I attained something that had been on my mind, and I got it accomplished, and that's my last big success with running is that 50 miler. And I think I'm just at the bottom of a cycle right now. I know I'll go back up. Matter of fact, I was talking with Dr. Smitty. I spent some time with him this weekend. We went up and met him at a recreational area, and actually our two families met each other for the first time, which was really cool. And we were talking about that just a little bit, how sometimes you just kind of get in a little bit of a slump. And it's not necessarily a negative thing. It does give your body a chance to heal, and you know, all those little micro tears and weak joints and all that kind of stuff has a chance to get stronger. So with the cycles, I think what I had previously been doing was focusing on the big picture, kind of on a continuum. And for that was to just previously I was just going forward to achieve mass amounts of endurance. And it was all it pinnacled at the 50 miler. But last year I turned 40, and I wanted to do that 40 miler when I turned 40. And that kind of got me on that ultra kick a little bit. At least that got me on the idea of going past the marathon mark, which I would like to do another 50 in the future. I just don't know exactly when. Maybe next spring if I can get motivated enough in the late fall or winter to get out there and get the mileage up a little bit. But I did 14 marathons in 4 years, and I work with a lady who had advised me against doing anything like that, and she does one marathon a year. In fact, I don't even think she runs the full marathon anymore because of her knees. But she was, you know, was telling me I should be careful, I'm gonna hurt myself. And I remember a couple years ago, I threw the whole idea of doing one marathon a year out the window because that was boring. One marathon a year for me was not exciting. It didn't give me enough training, and I was at an age where I was very, very interested in doing the long endurance running, kind of exploring that side of life and seeing what it took to get to the finish line that was, you know, 40 miles away or 50 miles away. And so I did. I figured that out, and so I'm kind of I'm in the bottom of a cycle. So I got to figure out a way to get the wheels going again. I think perhaps what I might do, or just some ideas that I had and just thinking out loud, is that I should probably target a specific race and then work to achieve success in that race. But how do you define success in running? I mean, it's not always improving your time. I don't come in first, and I don't have the ability really to place in my age group, especially because I came in last to second to last place at the cul-de-sac number 3 race. But there's other ways to achieve success. The Shamrock Marathon I ran in March of this year, which I put out in a podcast, was probably the best marathon I've ever run because of how much fun I had sharing it with other people that were first-timers, getting to see them cross the finish line with them in the race. So maybe that's something I should explore again, the coaching aspect. It was kind of an informal coaching type of thing. I wasn't these people's coach, although I kind of set up the program a little bit. And my friend Ashlyn Bob actually said that he's not running this summer. He said that he would start running again when I start running again. So I think if I do start getting my mileage up this fall and get out there and start training again, I think Bob will probably do that, and we'll probably end up doing a spring marathon, which might propel me into another ultra if I get the bug. So that's kind of my take on running cycles. I don't really know exactly what I was trying to, what point I was trying to make, except that I think history will repeat itself, and hopefully my cycle of inspiration will start up again, and I will find some reason to get out there. It's just been so hot. I just really can't stand it. And plus, I've had so much time on my hands. I mean, I come home from work. I got all this time in the afternoon to walk the dogs and interact with them and do stuff around the house and do little, you know, tinker with little projects in the garage. Whereas before, you know, it would be the rush home, get changed out and get out there and get the mileage in so I can get home and get a shower before supper. And everything else kind of suffered or sacrificed. So it's really nice to have a whole lot of time right now. But I know that I want to get back out there again because that's just who I am. So, all right, well, that is the topic for this week. And I'm going to get into some emails. And since I announced that Elizabeth had won the giveaway, I since got a message from her on the website. So I'll go over that. And so let's get into the email bag section of the show. All right, we got several emails this week, most notably, of course, being the winner of the contest. But Elizabeth, before I get to that, I want to mention that it's very possible that I'm going to be on Runner's Roundtable on August 25th, Wednesday at 7 p.m., which I think is 7 p.m. Central, I'm not quite sure. Go to Runner's Roundtable, search for that in your favorite search engine, you'll be able to find that. What that is, if you've never heard of it, is essentially a runner's roundtable. It's a just a roundabout through virtual community of people talking about different running topics. I've been on it once before, and it was okay. Sometimes you have some people that are kind of dominant on there that do all the talking, but hopefully this time I'll be able to share some of my ideas. I got a email from Mike over at his website is mwrunfar.blogspot.com, and I've mentioned that on the show before. Anyway, apparently Eddie Marathon is going to be hosting a show called The Quest for the 50 Mile Ultra on Wednesday, August 25th, which I already mentioned, and Mike's going to be on there, and they're looking for some other people to join them. I guess people that have information on the 50 Mile, and me and Dirt Dog were, they decided to invite us, so I think I'm going to take him up on that. The only problem would be is, I think I'll be home that night. I'll have to put that on my calendar. So what they're going to be talking about is the why, training, fueling, drop bags, courses, anything else that comes up with the 50-mile effort. And apparently Eddie Marathon is going to be running the North Country 50, but maybe his work schedule is not allowing him enough time, which I can totally understand because training for a 50-miler, Think about training for a regular marathon and then, you know, to add in the longer runs on the weekends, which are more for hours as opposed to mileage. You're out there on your feet for 4 to 6 hours, you know, running and walking and moving right along and fueling and eating and figuring out how to go to the bathroom in the middle of nowhere. That's what the 50-mile training is like, that, you know, times every weekend. So, Mike, I appreciate the email. I probably will take you guys up on that. I'll be interested in sharing any of my ideas, and look forward to talking to you on that. I haven't emailed you back yet, Mike, but I will. I'll do that here soon. I also heard from Richard, and Richard is actually working overseas now, and he's, if you might recall, Richard is the one that had done the North Face Endurance Challenge 50 Mile last year, gave me a whole bunch of input and ideas and got me kind of mentally prepared for the race. And the reason he had emailed me back is because I'd asked him about the Bull Run Run, which is a 50-mile ultra in Northern Virginia at the Bull Run Battlefield. I think that's in Manassas, if I'm not. I think it is in Manassas, or it's in Fairfax County. And he liked that a lot better than the North Face, just because of the course. He said it was a little bit easier, maybe not a lot, but maybe just a little bit. And he had done he had actually cleared that in 30 minutes faster than the North Face. So, Richard, good to hear from you. I'm glad that you were able to get the email from where you moved to. And he had done, let's see, before he left to go work overseas, he tried to do the Mohican 100 miler. He was training for that. He had a real rough day, Only about 40% of the starters finished. He actually DNF'd at mile 59, which has got to be pretty tough. But, dude, that's pretty far. I guess my question is, have you ever run that far before? If not, I mean, that's still achieving something. He said he learned a lot. He came away uninjured, had a great run, and somehow got a finisher's medal for running more than 59 miles. So that's not too bad. Richard, all the best to you. Hopefully you find a group to run with over there where you're at overseas. And it's really good to hear from you. I was curious to know if I would hear back from you, but it looks like they do have the internet where you work. So that's pretty cool. So I appreciate that, and I'll probably be getting back in touch with you about the Bull Run 50-miler at some point. I know that's a tough race to get in. All right, heard from heard from Josh, and this was kind of a little bit of a spam email, but the reason I'm going to share this is because it's kind of funny. I got a comment on the site, which I didn't approve because I'm not going to put it up, but what this is a perfect example of someone who has a program like Robots or Bots or Web Scraper, if you've ever heard of that, that goes out and finds information and then reports it back to a person who's doing the research. I had the word giveaway in one of my headers. And so what I did is I got spammed by Josh at giveawayscout.com, who wanted me to see if I wanted him to include my blog on their giveaway search engine. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because in the next email, which I got from Ryan, we only had 30 people submit their email for the $50 gift certificate giveaway. So if you didn't do that, shame on you. You should have tried to do that. If it's a free country, you can do whatever you want. But you would have had a pretty decent chance of winning. And if I had posted my giveaway from goneforarun.com on this giveaway thing, you could have had people don't even listen to the podcast trying to put their name in for the giveaway. So I'm not going to, Josh, I got nothing against you. I don't think you listen to the show. I think you just probably have a bot out there or a web scraper program that goes out and finds this stuff. But I'm just going to pass on that. I appreciate the offer. And we'll move on to the next one. So I just want to share that with everybody. It's kind of funny. I heard from Dirt Dog. If you keep up with Mike over at Dirt Dog's Rambling Ultra Diatribe podcast, you'll know that he DNF'd in the Burning River 100. DNF'd at just under the 40-mile mark. He said he wasn't having any fun, but then what he did is he actually stepped up and crewed his buddy Kevin, who finished his first 100-miler finish. So he actually had a great weekend overall. And Mike, that's pretty selfless of you, man. I mean, got a lot of respect for that. And like I said in an email to you, it kind of reminded me of Kurt Maples in the movie Running on the Sun, which is a movie about Badwater. And if you've never seen this, it's pretty good. It's called Running on the Sun. And I've talked about this in a previous show before, but it's really a good example of someone who takes their own... I hate to use the word failure because I don't want to say that Mike was a failure or this guy Kurt was a failure. But he didn't, wasn't able to go on. But what he did, he stepped up and then used his ability that he had left to go on and help somebody else finish. And that's very admirable, and it says a lot about somebody's character and how they're not self-absorbed, like a lot of ultra-endurance athletes can get. Because, when you do these long training runs and you're away from your family, it's really you're sacrificing a lot. Your family has to sacrifice a lot for your own goal, your personal goals. They don't really get anything out of it. But anyway, Kurt Maples in the movie Running on the Sun did that, and he and his Marines that he had out there actually helped another runner finish that didn't have a crew. So when Dirt Dog had told me that he helped his buddy Kevin to finish his first 100-mile, I immediately thought of that guy, and I sent him an email letting him know that I got a whole lot of respect for somebody who can take it on the chin and swallow their own pride and get out there and help somebody else and let them succeed. So well done, Mike. Look forward to listening to your podcast, which will have all the details on that. So make sure you listen to Mike's podcast. Just search Dirt Dog in your favorite search engine, and you'll find his podcast. I heard from Ryan, and this was the giveaway winner. We had 30 people that put in for that, and Elizabeth is the one that won. So let's... I don't think I have her... Oh, I don't have her email here. I'll have to go to the website, but I'll get to that in just a second. All right, well, believe it or not, the Podbean website is down, so I can't get to the comments on the website. But anyway, Elizabeth, there's some information on her and where she's from. She's got a blog that you can check out, and I'll have to put that in the next show. Elizabeth, I'm so sorry about that. I'll have to talk about you in the next show. But anyway, Elizabeth won the giveaway, which I've talked about earlier already. I'll have to put that in the next show. Heard from a new listener, Jason, who said he just started listening to the podcast, and he had heard about the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast from Alan and Stevie over at Running with the Pack podcast, which is pretty good. It's one of those podcasts that I've been listening to long term because I just like Alan's perspective on things, and maybe one of these days I'll cross paths with him up in Pennsylvania running something. Jason's got he's got two sites, gutthecut.wordpress.com and geeksandrunningshoes.wordpress.com. He's got a blog about running and losing weight, which has got some real good information. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. And he hails out of St. Louis, and he's actually he's doing the Chicago Half Marathon, which is only 7 weeks away. Has an aspiration to do a 50K someday, but he's got kind of focusing on the here and now. And he's a little banged up right now. He's got a pulled left calf and a pulled right hamstring. But hopefully, Jason, you can get that stuff squared away and be ready for the Chicago Half Marathon. And hopefully you'll have good weather for that. I think that's held during the Chicago Marathon. And, gosh, 7 weeks away, that's less than 2 months. So that's, that's coming right up. So hopefully I wish you all the best on that. And make sure you check out his website at gut2cut.wordpress.com. And geeksandrunningshoes.wordpress.com. And that gut to cut is GUTTOCUT. So, Jason, nice to hear from you. And I appreciate you taking the time to send in the email. And also heard from Richard out of the Woodlands, Texas. And he said the heat is always a struggle in the summer in Texas due to the high temps and the high humidity. And that's why a lot of people run in the morning down there. He usually runs about 6 a.m., tries to avoid the worst part of the day, and then this really a struggle some days because the humidity is so high in the morning, close to 95%, and the temperatures don't get much lower than 75, 78 degrees at that hour. Rich, I was trying to run when the temperature was 100 degrees just to see what would happen, and it was a total disaster, as you could tell. And believe it or not, Richard, I am going to be in Texas this week for a training conference down in Dallas. And it's kind of a strictly business type of thing, but I am going to try to get out and see a little bit of the city. I have a friend that lives down there that I went to college with he's going to pick me up from the airport, and we'll probably get dinner or something and do something, and then I'll have the conference starting for 4 days. So I've been told that it's hot, 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 and I haven't even checked the forecast for down there, and I was getting some clothes ready to pack, and I wish I could wear shorts because I love wearing shorts, going around in flip-flops. But I had to pack long pants, and I know I'm just going to sweat down there, but maybe I can manage to stay inside most of the day. So anyway, it's always good to hear from you, Richard. Richard is one of the original listeners that has made it known that he has been listening from the very beginning. And as always, Richard, I appreciate you being loyal to the show, and hopefully your training is going well for your races in the fall that you'll be doing. All right, well, that is the emails for this week. Let's get to Elizabeth now. Podbean finally came up here. I'm kind of multitasking here, getting both, two things going at once. And the problem is that when I go to get on the site, it's slow, and then I click on my own comments on my own website, and it's just taking a long time to load up. I can't imagine a whole lot of people using Podbean right now. But it's slow, so what we'll do is we'll move on to another topic until it loads up. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to mention a topic that I'm going to do a podcast on in the future, and the name of that topic is going to be the demise of the American barbershop. And I don't know about you, I don't know where you live or you guys out there how you get your hair cut, but I always go to a barbershop, and we've had a very interesting history of barbershops in Ashland since the center of the universe, since I've been living here. And even though it doesn't really have much to do with running, I think I'm going to do a podcast about barbershops, and it's just going to be an audio essay. I've always been interested in the American barbershop, and it just seems like they're kind of disappearing. I'm talking about the typical you know, all-American barbershop, you know, where you go in and you got a real barber. You don't have some hack in there. You got a barber, and you got, you know, all the stuff that goes in a men's barbershop. And that seems to be, you know, those things are fading away. And I've seen that happening right here in Ashland, and I've decided that I'm going to do a podcast about it. I'm not sure which episode. I don't know if it's going to be the next one or the one after that. But I promise I will try to make it as informative as I can. I'm not going to go pull all this research or do any garbage like that. I'm just going to give you my perspective of what's going on with barbershops, you know, as a customer, as a consumer. And I'm not going to pull numbers off the internet or any garbage like that, because we've had an interesting barbershop situation in Ashland, and I'm going to talk about it. Anyway, okay, Elizabeth's comment finally loaded up on the ashlanddave.podbean.com. Elizabeth says, I won your giveaway and just wanted to thank you for hosting it and to thank Ryan at Gone for a Run for being very generous. I've been a listener since day one and love the podcast. So, hey, Richard from the Woodlands, we've got another longtime listener, first-time caller. Elizabeth goes on to say she was actually in Williamsburg, Virginia, sweating out a long run when she listened to the giveaway, and she was able to be part of it. She's currently training for the Akron Marathon as a fall goal race while still getting over a lower body injury that has plagued her for the last 2 years. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for putting that comment on the website. You can check that out at ashanddave.podbean.com. Now, Elizabeth, when I got the link, when you left the comment, I saw that you'd put a blog in there. However, let's see if I click on your name here. Let's see if it goes to your blog. It looks like it does. So it's ebethfit.blogspot.com. So go to that and check out more about Elizabeth, because she is $50 richer now. So, Elizabeth, thanks for listening to the show. It's so nice to hear from you. As always, it is always nice to hear from listeners and people that listen to the show, and especially from another Virginian. And I'm guessing that you live in Williamsburg. I'm not sure. But anyway, I wonder if you've ever done the Colonial Half Marathon out there. I heard that's a pretty hard race. It's all on private property, so you don't really have a whole lot of spectators. But apparently Anheuser-Busch provides all the beer at the end. As you know, Anheuser-Busch is in Williamsburg, Virginia. There's a distributor there. And a brewery. I think they do brew the beer there. I'm not really sure. I have taken a tour of the factory, but believe it or not, they give you so much beer, I can't remember all the details. So. All right, well, that's the show for this week, and I'm done, and I'll get out there again, I promise. I'll get out there and get some miles in at some point. Actually, this week, instead of running, I took my mountain bike out to Poor Farm Park, which is the start and finish of the Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and I had a total blast riding my mountain bike through the trails at Poor Farm Park, because it's a pretty big park. There's lots and lots of trails. And, man, I got whipping fast on some of that stuff. And, man, I really had a good time. So I'm going to explore that some more. It only takes me 10 minutes to get there. You know, I ride for about 40 minutes. And then I get home, and it's pretty exhilarating. So, but I did figure out I need to get a new bike rack, because I put the rack on the back of the car, and the strap dry rotted. Actually, it's my wife's bike rack that she got. We had to give up the other one to somebody. Anyway, that's kind of a long story. But the one that I put up on the car broke off right away. So I'm just glad it didn't break off while I was going down the road and lose a very expensive mountain bike underneath somebody's car. All right, well, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week, and I'll be back with another show within 2 weeks. Take care.